This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live Off the Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Duncan Hama News, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you had a wonderful weekend. I'm so glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so, 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, that's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Well, there are a number of very topical things happening in the country today. Very topical things, some of which we are going to speak about today, one of which we're going to speak about in a preliminary way today, because as I promised you on Wednesday, we are going to speak with the lead researcher on the now extremely highly talked about study. We're going to speak with Mrs. Leslie Archer, who is a policy fellow in the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of the Bahamas, on a study that is making its rounds in terms of the cost of being middle class in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Commented on it. The population has commented on it. The leader of the opposition has commented on it. So there's lots of talk about it. So we're going to get from her a more detailed, if all goes well, founding of the study and understand what made up the costing that gave rise to all of this discussion. There are lots of people with questions about the study. And so hopefully when we have an opportunity, we can break down and discuss some of those things. The Prime Minister got himself in a bit of hot water in his initial comments on the study, which he admitted he had not read, which I think was not the best thing to do in terms of commenting on it before he read it, because of course, you know, in the heat of the moment, when the media puts a camera and a microphone in front of you, you're a prime minister, you want to give an answer, you want to, you know, not dodging an issue, but if you are not quite prepared for the answer, then you might issue up one that runs you into controversy, and this one certainly did. I don't think there's anyone who can deny So when the Prime Minister said, well, you know, lifestyle is a choice. And so you don't have to choose to live in Vinica West, you can choose to live in Stapleton, as some people are quoting. He got himself in a bit of controversy about that because now people are saying he's insensitive, he's out of touch. People are just having a difficult time. Quite frankly, I think that some of the arguments being brought against the Prime Minister are taking liberties, just as I think the Prime Minister's comments were ill-advised in the circumstance. Because even if the Prime Minister was right, even if the Prime Minister was right, and there is an extent to which, in the context of in the context of what the study is suggesting, to have uttered what he uttered, what he brought to people out, you don't get it, right? Because the reality is, whether you are lower class, middle class, or upper class in this country, and whatever definitions you want to apply to them, we'll speak of some of those later on, there are lots of people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas who are finding the cost of living, whether it is the reasonable standard of cost, or it is the aspirational living that they want, or it is an excessive living that people want. The cost of that living is expensive in the Bahamas. That's the reality. Expensive meaning there are people who simply cannot afford some part of that cost. Period. They cannot make their single or combined income be enough for that cost. That's reality. And then there are people who, while they can meet that cost, once they have done so, they have no wriggling room to live, meaning to enjoy life beyond work to pay bills. And then there are people who can afford that, but they say, listen, I can afford this, so why should I have to pay this amount? Because it stops me from affording the things I may want to afford because I have to afford this price. You see what I'm saying here? So you can't simply dismiss that people are choosing a lifestyle and that that's what's driving their cost. Because there is a cost to a lifestyle choice. There's no question about that. And you can have a lifestyle choice that's above your means. Or you can have a lifestyle choice deemed by some to be excessive. But the reality is there are lots of people, thousands of people, whose attempt simply to live a modest life is very expensive. Nothing excessive about it at all. Their kids go to public school. They are purchasing the foods they think they need and can't afford. They are barely able to go out and spend time eating out and all that kind of stuff. Maybe once a month or so, they try to carry the kids out somewhere to get some chicken and bread. They are purchasing the children's school material. They're purchasing uniforms, and they are struggling to make this happen. So they are not your lifestyle choice causing you to live above your means and causing you to feel like everything is too expensive. That's not their people. And then there are lots of people who, you know, they work hard and they try to enjoy a modest, a reasonable standard of living and afford their children and family that standard of living. And they, you know, they have debts or debt obligations, and they got household obligations and these kinds of things. And then when they are finished, they just like, there's not a lot of room to do things that people would want to do to enjoy life more fully, right? So you have to take account all the categories of people that are seeking to live in a Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And there are people who, in order to live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I'm not asking anybody, I know they live in shacks, literally shacks. There's no electricity, no modern amenities. They live as best they can in that environment. Some people are living in their old, now deteriorated, no modern amenities. Just doing what they could do because that's the living they can afford. So you have to be sensitive to the realities of all those people. And that reality for some people makes life feel really hard and difficult. It becomes especially difficult if they start comparing themselves to other people. There's a quote that says, comparison is the thief of joy. If all of us are poor, it may feel bad, but it might not feel as bad as when I see others thriving in an environment where I am struggling. And there's lots of that going on. It is especially important because politicians may not know it. People may not know a politician's financial circumstances, right? They may not. Typically, they should know if people are disclosing appropriately, they can know. But they may not know. Policy, they can be. But the problem is, they never look it. Always dressed up in suits, for the most part, as they go to work. If you are in the cabinet, you drive around with a sofa. That doesn't look poor. That doesn't look struggling, right? You get to fly here or there. Not at the government's expense, but it doesn't matter. It looks rich, right? And you just look across, and then they get to see. Well, if you combine their salaries, the member of parliament's salary with their ministerial salary, they make about $93,000 a year. You say, but that ain't no money for me. You think it ain't no money for you, but if you are somebody making 20-something thousand dollars a year, then to that person, you are making four times the amount of money they're making. And if they are eking out an existence with their $20-something thousand, they believe and feel like you are making you're doing exceptionally well. You say, oh, but they don't see me in this campaign and the next. No, they don't see that. That's not the point. It is what they perceive. Right? That's what they perceive. You're able to fly to Europe. You're able to fly to Asia. You're able to fly to South America. They know you ain't going to those places and eating McDonald's. That's not what they think, right? And so in that comparison, so joyless. On top of that, they look into the future. They look at their income. They look at their screen, the financial circumstances, and they look into the future and they ask the question, how likely am I to have a changed, better circumstance going forward? And for far too many, that they think about what the political establishment is doing, the answer for them is not much different. I am going to be like this for years to come. And that further robs them of joy. Because now their hope is limited, minimal, or non-existent. And this becomes a quandary. When you have a study that comes out and says, if you want to live middle class in the Bahamas, if you want to live as a middle class person in the Bahamas, you need $10,000 a month. Now, what I find happens with some of these things is we don't realize sometimes that we don't realize that the studies are pointing to household income, not an individual household. And the study suggesting that but the study says that the household income or required or costing for a person, I mean for a household of two adults, right? Standardly thinking, mother and daddy, and two children. That's four people. That's not a single individual, because a single person could live in a much more modest circumstance and not have to earn or pay $10,000 a month. But four people, that the study is saying that. That's what the study is saying, right? Is the study correct or right? That's what the study says. You could then think through it, and maybe somebody else might have some other study that shows or demonstrates something different. There might be evaluative things about it that says, you tweaked this much, it might not be that much. But that's what that study says. And so you have that study comes out and says that, and then all of a sudden now, you're looking at, bro, I make $2,000 a month, I make $1,800 a month, I make $1,500 a month, I make $1,200 a month, I make minimum wage. Well, if it costs $10,000 to be in the middle class in the Bahamas, in the definition that's in that study, I am so far from that it seems almost hopeless. Again. So if you're a political leader navigating that issue, you have to be thoughtful, sensitive, and probably patient to understand, to wrap your head around all that it means and says. If you're listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold the warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond. The Bahamas government to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas government saving bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
This October, Dunkin' Donuts is brewing more than just coffee. We're brewing strength because we're stronger together. Donate at any Dunkin' location to support breast cancer awareness, and we'll match every dollar you give. Together, we're making a real difference for the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group. SIF Smile Support. When we stand together, we're stronger together because the Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, stay.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. On this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the some of the discussions around the study on middle class cost of living in the Bahamas. We'll talk to the researcher who produced that paper on Wednesday, but really just kind of introducing a discussion around some of the comments that have been made about it, in particular by the Prime Minister. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 424-796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. These things can become quite emotive. And I understand that. But, you know, my effort is to try to approach it dispassionately so that maybe we can think through some things. So let's talk about some numbers here. Okay, these are numbers that are produced for us. So we don't have to be opinionated about them. They are numbers that are produced for us. So there's something called the median income and the average income in a country. Median and average household income. Again, it's important to note that household. And the household could be of one person, it could be of two people, it could be of three, it could be of four. The Bahamas National Statistical Institute would conduct what is called a National Household Income Survey. And in that survey, they will produce categories of income that households earn, and they will tell you the number in that category. So they will establish, for instance, households that have zero income to 5,000 income, and they'll say, well, 1,205 households fit in that category. They will then go from 5,001 to say 10,000, and then they'll give you the number that fits into that category on the basis of their survey. On the basis of that household income survey, they are then able to get to calculate what the average household income is. So if you add all the household incomes up together, divided by the number of households, and there are over 100,000 households from the last survey in 2019, then you get an average household income. If you look at the place where half the households fall below that income and half are above that income, you get the median income of the country, okay? So the median income says half the population or households fall below that income and half are above that income, okay? So that's why it's called the median. So what is household income according to the BNSI 2019? Okay, I suspect they will get an update on this from the labor, from the census, but I have what they published in 2019. The average household income in the Bahamas was about $47,000 of the average household. That doesn't mean the average person in the Bahamas makes $47,000. It means that the average household, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, whoever's working in that, bringing in the income, the average household made $47,000+. What was the median household income? Meaning that half the population was above it and half the population was below it, $33,352. The median income. So why is the average higher? Because there are larger numbers of households that make more than the $33,000. They're up to 50% and make the 30 above that 33,352. their collective income is enough to bribe the average. Okay? So what's the average income in the Bahamas? 2019, household income, $47,000+. So you call yourself an average man, an average household, your income of yours, $47,000. That's what you are making on a annual basis, according to the BNSI, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. And that puts you at what a month? That puts you at $3,917 a month. Household, $3,917. Does that mean your house is making that? That does not mean that. But you might be below average. Or you could be above average. You must be making much more than that. But that's the average. The median is $33,352, which means that that monthly is $2,779. Half the households make more than that, and half make less than that. Some make very close to that above it. Some make very close to that below it. Some make very much higher than that above it. Some make very much lower than that below it. But that's the median income. Why am I saying this? Because median income is important to how, in some circles, middle class is defined. So if you want to know if you're a middle income earner in the Bahamas, well, if you fit around that median income household, then you're in that middle income category. It's a range though. You know, it's not just one point, it's a range, right? So if you fit in that category group of, say, 25,000 to 40,000, you're middle income in the Bahamas, because basically half the people make less than you and the other half make more than you. But you're middle income, right? It depends on the range that's defined. But median income is used in some research circles to define middle class. For instance, the Pew Research Center in the United States of America, very distinguished research center in the United States of America, here is how they define middle class. And it is embraced by many media and other commentators. Their definition of middle class is, you take the median income, and two-thirds of the median income to double the median income is in the middle class. Got it? If you make two-thirds of the median income to double the median income, you are middle class. So let's look at an example of that. In the United States of America, the median income earned by American households, the median income is $80,610. Okay, $80,610. That's roughly $5,810 a month. $5,810 a month. According to the Pew Center, then, a middle-class person in America would be anyone who's earning from $54,000 to $160,000. So what's the range for middle class in America? Somebody earning between $54,000 and approximately $162,000. That's the range. It's a wide range, isn't it? So you could be middle class making $54,000 or anywhere between $54,000 and $162,000 in America. using that same definition, is using the median income in the Bahamas of $33,352, what would be a middle class grouping range in the Bahamas? Anyone making between $22,346 and $66,704. So according to that definition, you want to know what your household is? Is your household a middle income? If you're making between $22,346 and $66,704, you would be middle class in the Bahamas, according to the Pew Research definition of middle class. If you make below $22,346, you'd be lower income, lower class. And that doesn't mean you, that doesn't mean you're a terrible person. That's an old, I know that has a connotation, but that's not what it means. It's just describing where your household income is. And if you make beyond $66,704, you'd be upper class, upper income. All right, so does anybody now know for the moment? Because if you have any questions, please, I'm happy to take your questions. Any questions about anything I just said, because this is going to be helpful when we have the discussion with Mrs. Carlton, too. Okay? I'm not saying she used that definition. I'm just giving you an example of a definition used by the Pew Research Center of defining middle class, upper class, and lower class. Okay? And if you have any questions, please, when we come back from the break, I'm happy to take them. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Survival, I'm your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. Cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery. Life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The car?
I ain't mash the car. The lady run into me mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. To Z Live, I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 424-7996 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us in the Family Islands on 439-304, in the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. I must have done a great job of explaining this stuff because ain't nobody asking no questions, so that's great for you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, you did a great job. As I realized, what is middle class in the developed world will be different from what is middle class here. And from judging from how you explain it, I guess the numbers, it's irrefutable how you explain it. But help me out with some human geography here. I'm kind of rusty. There was a caller called this morning, and he classified us as the developed world, right? And there was some geopolitical news. It was something I was reading about China, where China was trying to be exempted from something. I can't even remember. It's vague. But China is claiming that it's a developing country, right? So they don't want to be classified as developed because of some parameters in some geopolitical scenario. I can't even remember, but I know they were saying they're not developed. So I realize you said that our per capita is what? It's about 33,000 a year. That's our per capita.
No. Be careful. I didn't use per capita income. I used median income. Per capita income is a different calculation.
All right. So, but question for you to clear up for me then is, does a per capita income only in isolation qualifies a country to be classified as developed world? Because I think
it depends on who's doing the qualifying. If you're listening, if you're looking at the IMF, the World Bank, the IDB, they all use per capita income as the sole definition of where you fit in terms of developed, underdeveloped, or developing country.
Yeah, but I knew for a while from human geography that we are classified as a developed a country to meet that criteria. But does that make a developed country? Because I think, that's what I'm saying, I'd like to go up and hang up and listen.
Well, it doesn't, it's not a question of whether I think it does or not. It's really, it only matters to who's doing the defining.
Yeah, I understand that. But I don't think we are a developed country. I mean, we may think so.
The reality is, when you look at the Bahamas, there are things about yourself that you look at. You cannot deny that you're developed. when you look at your cellular phone penetration, when you look at the level of technology you have access to, and so forth. When you look at your income per capita, when you look at your household stock and these kinds of things.
But one more question. As compared to when you and I were in high school, right? Well, in human geography, they was using the word the developed world, so developing countries, you know what I mean? So I just hang up and listen. That's it. Yeah.
One of the things we get caught up in is we think of the world in absolute. So somebody uses a term and we think that, well, if you call me developed, that means there's no aspect of me that couldn't be developing. But that's not true. That's like saying a human being, because they're mature, every aspect of them is mature. But human beings can be physically mature, they can be intellectually mature, and they can be emotionally immature. So the Bahamas has characteristics of a developed world, and it has characteristics of a developing world. There are parts of the Bahamas where you could say we are maybe even underdeveloped if you look at some of our islands. And that would have been especially true if you looked at some of our islands 20, 30 years ago, where there was no basic running water and electricity and cabling and all these kinds of things. So the thing about it is, it's not to get trapped in an absolutism world. If the IDB says in order for you to be able to get concessionary loans or the World Bank, you have to be a underdeveloped country or a developing country. And for us to be an underdeveloped country, you have to be making less than having a per capita income of less than $25,000. And that's what it is. you could try to get a change, but that's what it is for the time being. But that doesn't mean that because they put you in a developed world category, everything about you is developed. Because we are developing. And no, every country is developing. Even the United States of America. Is America where it wants to be in technology? The President of the United States says he wants to build a dorm missile defense system. Well, that would mean moving in the direction of development from that point of view. But are they developed in terms of many of modern amenities and facilities? Look in some Sahara, sub-Saharan African countries and Haiti and some of the other countries, and you can see where, broadly speaking, they are underdeveloped. So I don't get caught in the trap of thinking just because you put me in a developing or developed or underdeveloped category that everything about me is characterized by that. That's not true. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang, you are talking gross income and not net per year, right? Yeah, I'm using gross because there is nowhere basically that standardly uses net anything, because the question is, what are you going to net off, right? So that doesn't arise as a part of the conversation, because netting off means that you have to take into consideration this, that next thing, and then the question becomes, okay, if we're doing comparisons by countries, are we netting off the same set of things? So yes, we are using growth numbers. We then, if you look at if you look then at class calculation that I just did based on the Pew Research Center's definition, 22,346 to 66,744. How many households, according to the 2019 Household Labor Survey, would be below $22,346 in income? How many? The answer is 21,710. So there was the 21,710 households. Those households could have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people in it. But 21,710 households, and if the household, let's say the household was the average 3, then that means you would have about 54,000 people living on less than $22,346 a year. That's 20% of households. 20% of households live below or in the lower class category, according to the Pew Center's definition calculation I did, based on the Bahamas National Statistical Institute 2019 Household Labor Survey. But higher than middle class, upper class, how many people would be in that category? 10,500 people would be in that category. That's about 10%. 10%. Would be in that category. Okay, let me see. Let me just make sure. Higher than the 66 would be 17,000. 17,000 would be upper class, and that as a percentage of the whole would be 16%. So 20% in the lower class, 16% in the upper class. So the in quote, the very poor and the very rich are separated by only 3 percentage points. 53% are in the middle class. So basically, that'd be 37%. 63% would be in the middle class, according to that definition, 63%. Now, how many people would be in that grouping that could afford $10,000 plus a month in income to be in the middle class? According to the 2019 household income survey, 10,530. That's about 10%. That's it. Everybody else would be unable to afford the middle class living. Okay? According to this calculation. Now, what is important to note is, and we'll get there when we get to talking when it is that that middle class $10,000 a month is not the living wage calculation. The middle wage to live to have a living wage in the Bahamas in New Providence requires $6,600 a month. Grand Bahama, a middle wage is $5,000 a month, not $10,000, not $10,100. $6,600 in New Providence, $5,000 in Grand Bahama. And that's according to the same study that we are talking about. And as I said before, many will be able to discuss that. We'll be able to discuss that when the time comes. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here that says the Bahamas is primarily classified as a developing country with aspects of a high-income nation, given its relatively strong tourism and financial sector. Despite the many radio callers and social media experts' assertions, we do not fall under the third world or least developed country categories, though we face unique challenges as a small island developing state. And aligned with Global South in terms of economic status and development needs. I don't think you want me to read that one. But that is true. The third world is not originally an expression of your economic status, you know. It was really a representation of your ageness in terms of awareness by the dominant powers of the day. So those who were long in existence were like the first world, right? The Europeans and them. Then there was the second world with the Americas and them, and then the third world was all these other places that got discovered after that and so forth. It wasn't really, we don't in economics use third world, first world, and those as economic expressions, even though they've come to be conflated in many ways with developing and underdeveloped and so forth. But that wasn't the original intent. Okay. So now, I listened to the interview that the Minister of National Security gave when he was informing the public about the police officer who unfortunately alleged to have attempted to commit suicide. And he indicated that the police officer had been interdicted for drug trafficking some time ago. And that he therefore was embroiled in some legal problems, and that he was the same police officer who was immersed in alleged incident with the Minister of Energy and Transport, Jobeth Colby, where it was alleged that he, in quotes, hit him with a car. Now, I don't know what was asked of the minister. So that's typically one of the things that we are challenged with sometimes when we are listening to media reports. We only hear answers or say when asked. But you didn't hear the exact question. But I thought the minister was quite gratuitous in offering that information. But so much of it to me seemed brand new information. And did any of you hear how that issue of the car incident with the minister and the police officer was resolved? Anybody? Up to this day, did you hear anything? Anybody heard anything? I was then surprised to hear that there is a video recording of the entire incident that cleared the minister and showed what happened. I was not aware that this was public, said to the public even. I mean, not even if you didn't show the video, I'm not aware. I don't claim to listen to everything and know everything. So I might just have missed it. I called around the people that I thought might be in such a know, and none of them could tell me that they had seen or heard this before. Because as far as I'm aware, the incident still remain one of those things where you ain't no white. Was that news to only me and the people I spoke to, or was that news, right? But the minister said that there's a video that plays and shows everything. Now you have people saying, she didn't hit the police officer. There was kind of a nudging that happened, and so you touched the policeman's uniform with the car and so forth and so forth. And then that this police officer had been interdicted for drug trafficking. Was that known? Was that something that was in the news? Like, again, I don't know. I may have just missed it. I called an officer friend of mine who, you know, was aware of it. Wasn't quite sure it was like on the side like that, but you know, I had not heard it. I just, and it was just kind of odd, right? That all of this disclosure happened around that. And then, the minister went on to say, you know, when people are financial challenges or relationship challenges or financial challenges, I mean, legal challenges, that, you know, they can have emotional issues and all that kind of stuff, which is true. But again, I thought that was gratuitous to me. Because you know, so many people who have any number of those things going on, right? I mean, and of course, there are people who can, in the midst of it, have challenges. But that was one thing, the mere circumstance of this officer relative to an initial incident. And then the interdiction was yet another thing. And I just found it interesting. And it only led me to the comment that I had made before, which is that we in the administration of the state. Too many. Three, information with a certain casualness that I think does a disservice or doesn't serve as well the population, right? Because we don't include some matters. Leave them hanging. And only if something happens, then by the way, you might just hear, okay, well, this happened and that happened. I mean, we should conclude matters for the benefit of the public. Right? Conclude. We shouldn't react all the time because some bad news came out or some, you know, this incident had happened, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. This is now a concluded matter based on this, based on this, you know. It says, I am a data collector of media in the Bahamas and all things public and political. The video exonerating the minister actually existing was brand new breaking news. The info on the police was also breaking news. I searched for the police announcements and found none. It may exist, just not in the public domain. And this person does say, right? And it was something. And now you have an officer allegedly had some to such distress as to be willing to take his life, who has also been an addicted, the drug trafficking, allegedly, and nothing. Again, I think we can do a better job sharing information about matters so that you have less questions raised by humans than you actually have questions answered by comments. I'm very concerned myself, actually, about how information is treated in the world today. Not just in America, in the world. It is difficult sometimes even to have conversations because everything is fluid. Nothing is absolute. Facts are principles. Data can be undated. People take back to be subject to their own data. So that there are alternative realities. Now, let me be clear. People who have a reasonable suspicion and curiosity and unwillingness to just what people say, oh man, listen, you are brilliant. You are brilliant. Okay, don't nobody. Don't ever let anybody, not me, Shivara, like anybody else, make you feel bad because you are willing to challenge what it says. There's nothing wrong with that. That helps all of us get better. That helps all of us be more informed. But you can't allow your unreasonable suspicion to dismiss what might be weighty arguments, weighty data, weighty facts put before you, simply because you just dismissed people outright. You just decided you're a white squad. I'm not going to listen to you. And so I think that we're going to have a difficult way forward in the world. I really do. And that difficulty isn't just going to be on the grounds of politics or in the platform of politics. No, it's going to in the arena of politics. It's going to be difficult in our families. It's going to be difficult in our churches. It's going to be difficult in our schools. It's going to be difficult in our communities. It's a difficult time in too many spaces communicating because, yeah, I was watching a video the other day on some Generation Z were having arguments with millennials. And they were making arguments about who you all think you all are as Gen Z. We millennials allow you all to use our TikTok. And I'm thinking to myself, are you serious? Really? I mean, it's become that difficult. That's challenging. I even find young people adopting physical language now. Of older people and politicians. Because if they send you something, or you read something, and you say to them, well, he or she said this, you know what they say? Oh, you're taking them out of context. You misrepresent them. I mean, almost automatically, that's not what politicians say when they say something incorrect, or they say something that they regret saying, or you took me out of the media, took me out of context. That's the language now. Or you have to read, or you have to watch the whole podcast. You have to watch all the podcasts. Really? I got to watch all. Why were they unable in the moment to say what they wanted to say? And how is it that I did not get the context listening to them, but you do? It's very difficult. Difficult to have conversations now. Very difficult, man. We are supposed to draw conclusions about rightness and wrongness in the world. We are supposed to draw conclusions about what's wise and unwise in the world. We're supposed to draw conclusions about how to progress in the world. when we are so casual with our language. You know, there is something called the Five Agreements, is it? It's a book called the Five Agreements. Let me make sure it's not the Four Agreements. Let me see, of a five. Yeah, it's a book. The book is called The Four Agreements. And it is a book that advocates that you and I should have these four agreements we make with ourselves. And one of those agreements is be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word. In other words, let your word mean, even if you disagree with it, but be impeccable with your word. Put weight on your word. So take your time and thoughtfully utter them. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. Right? Somebody disagrees with you. Somebody agrees with you. Don't take it personally. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. Don't make assumptions. Don't assume I meant this or said that. What? Just ask for clarification. Yeah, if you wish. And then fourthly, always do your best. Don't do somebody else's best, you know. Do your best, because if you have one leg and you're running in a race with prosthetic, your best may not be the best of a person who has both their legs. But your best is your best. You have a fifth grade education. Somebody else might have a master's or PhD. In that particular sphere, their best is their best. Best is your best, and the angels cannot ask you to do more than your best, given the resources and circumstances in which you. That's the agreement. Those are the agreements. But the first one is be impeccable with your words. The text says, "Hello, Mr. Lang. The cat and the kill stories being paid for by the government to the tune of tens of millions of dollars and nothing but blackmail money. The cat and kill stories? What does that mean? I don't understand that. The information is cat and kill to stop these stories from getting out. Oh, I see. Millions of dollars? You think so? I don't want to say, I don't know what anybody is doing. I'm just simply saying that when I listened to the story today, I was just flabbergasted. That's the truth. But I don't know. Because I heard all of this stuff, that's so new to me. You're listening to See Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold the warm. You're not alone. Holla if you feel like you been down the same road.
The waffle with cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular waffle with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a waffle that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your waffle with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions, group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I was listening to Bright Show this morning blend. I heard a couple of callers calling in about the media's treatment of POI. In some of them, their minds, there's this conspiracy to block them out, to not give them pay, and so forth and so forth. Or not recognize them. And they were like, you know, they're complaining about, you know, we, until we get rid, until we stop swinging back between these two parties, FNM and PLP, which who obviously have no interest in governing. Those are the words I heard. Things will never get better. Now, I've heard that before. I've heard this stuff many, many, many times. Sometimes it's honest at me. You know, every time I say call parties, I call FNM, PLP, COI, DNA, and others. So you go listen to the show. I do it all the time. Even though in the back of my head, I'm thinking like really seriously, you know where the competition is, right? Now, while I was listening, I was thinking to myself, they are angry at the wrong group though. If media in the world and in the Bahamas could make parties, and let me tell you something, y'all would not want media to have that power. It don't have that power. It does not. But you ain't want them to have that power. Make? Like if you get on media, if you get these talk shows, that make, oh my God, you do not want that to be true. You don't want that to be true. All the media did this and said that, the next thing about Donald, everything for Donald Trump on the left and so forth. So with all kinds of people, the Republicans went on the media who didn't want Donald Trump and said, and Donald Trump should win. Why? For the same reason, COI and all have to understand. Don't make your case to the media. Stop picking on the media. Don't make your case to the media. Crowd them. 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 You need us. That's the job. That's the job of campaigning. That's the job of politicians. Not to cry and whine about who ain't letting you on. Go find the places where those people who you need to get to vote for you are listening, and then go persuade them that I am your people, I am your man, I am your person, we are your people. That's the job. Don't try to get the media to do your job. The media in the Bahamas ain't never been doing nobody's job. They might be allies on occasion, some people might think. They cannot give you no election. They cannot give you no vote. The media in this country has been talking about DNA and COI from random, very popularly, like publicly, broke off from the FNM and formed the DNA, and they got all kinds of attention and got even some traditional FNM and PIP supporters sponsors to sponsor them and so forth from that time. Go look at the number of votes third parties have gotten. From that time, don't miss the media. Go and look at the number of votes and compare them to what the FNM and PLP have gotten over that same period of time. It's not the media. It's work that the party has to do to be able to convince tens of thousands of more people to vote for it. And guess what? I submit that you don't get that by whining. You don't get that by appearing weak and like victims. Because if the Bahamian people are the victims of poor government, the last thing they want is another victim to be trying to get them to support. They need strength. You trust me, you say something newsworthy, you ain't gonna worry about these people. They pick you up. Oh, yeah. Media? You say something that they think is newsworthy, they will pick you up. Why? They're in the business of selling newspaper. They're not in the business of making news for you. They're in the business of you making news and reporting on what you read. And there are so many newsworthy news-making things that could be done by any opposition party in the Bahamas. Any. There has to be some newsworthy things that government people could say, but they don't. But that's the job. Not to whine and cry. The FNM, when it was in opposition to the PLP for many, many years, 25 years, they had to go do the job, make the changes, sometimes adjustments to get support. Third parties aren't unique in the world, in this country, you know. It's the third parties have a hard way to go. and everywhere in the world. Does it mean it's impossible for them to get there one day? Absolutely not impossible. But it's a hard way to go. And you have to have stealth, you have steadiness, you have to have sturdiness, and you have to have sophistication to get there. I would never recommend any CLT leader, FNM leader, DNA leader, or COI leader, come on, these radio shows, or their people, whining and crying to them, knowing names, giving them a fair play. You don't look good that way. I remember a particular politician was running for leadership one time. They posted something on, it was a whine. They were whining about what, how they were being treated. I called them up and I said to them, I said, don't do that. I said, don't do that. When people are looking to you for strength, for you to reflect weakness, is to tell them, you are not the person for me. They are looking for somebody to inspire them. They're looking for somebody to lift them up. They're looking for somebody to carry them forward. And you are whining about people stopping you from doing, with the media stopping you from doing what you're doing. Are you healthy? No, man. Just go do your job. Intelligently, energetically, motivationally, excitingly, dynamically, make your case to voters. And if the media ain't hearing you, I can promise you, if enough people start following you, they'll hear you. They'll hear you. You can't be crying. You can't be coming on there blaming Dwight, blaming the host of other shows. It'll be the reason why you can't get. Well, if you are compelling, people will let you come on. I don't want people to talk nonsense, expect them to invite you back. Take this show. How many politicians have been on the show? I'm not talking about have there ever been. There have been politicians on the show. But how many? Over the 300 plus days that we have shows, how many times you see that? So don't complain and whine, or you've given only them. When there is a need, we speak to the people who need to be spoken to. You can't argue with people bringing on the government people. And the opposition is the official opposition of the country. They are part of the governance machinery. To call you on, you have to have something compelling to say. See, because you might like it, you got no seats in the parliament. You have no big spread in the population of voters as can be seen from the reference of voting. So you're not a compelling force yet. You have a force. And your leadership and your spokespeople have to do that. You know? I'll tell you one thing. You take the COI as an example. Bobby Cook MacGyver makes a diligent effort to put a position of voice on there and so forth. You end up reading that. She does. Right? And if that isn't getting enough traction, then she would have to ask, well, what else? You know, the Democrats have this issue right now. Millions of Democrats didn't show up to vote. White women and white men voted in the majority for Donald Trump. Spanish men, Latin men, in the majority for Donald Trump. They got to ask the question. They can't blame the media only. They got to ask the question. What did we not do? What did we not say to these people to cause them not to? That's how you market yourself. The adjustment. If you want the same old plan that ain't working and ain't getting you where you want to get, carry forward. At the end of the day, whining about the media isn't going to get you there. At all. The FNM tried to do what it could do with its leadership, never got an offer. Decided, okay, let's try you with England. This man used to be the chairman of the PLP. He had to go to the PLP. Became the leader of the FNM. they want a new date. And I go, adjustment sometimes, right? Sometimes slight adjustment. But don't bring in people. I know the host of details. And I've been mostly by private conversations. I see no desire in them to sabotage any political party. They have perspectives and views. But if there's a compelling voice of their voice, you better believe they'll get that voice, they'll have that voice on. They will. And that's what you have to be in the realm of politics. You have to be compelling. Because Miami says some people want people to help them, and they want real change, and they can listen to your message. And if it don't make no sense, they can show you. Don't mind what they telling you while you're nearby. On election day, they show you. They show all of us. We were campaigning in 2002 and telling the people, being public, what we did for them and what we doing for them and all that kind of stuff. The people then tell us, man, tell you in the backside. They're right. PLP went in 2007 and told them, oh, we did this for you, we did that for you. They tell them, but tell your back up. They tell you, no matter what they talk to you about, no matter what they tell you. At the end of the day, they show you by election. And so you, if you want data, confirm what you are not doing, go check your vote. You see, in politics, numbers matter. It's a popular vote. You get in because you get the most votes. Either you get the most in total, or you get the most type of consistency to get you in. That's how you what you want. Not by browbeating the media. You get it by getting votes. And if people ain't listening to you, or enough people aren't listening to you, I hear some of the people who call in about the COI, the DNA saying now, oh, people tired of the FNM and people tired of PLP and blah, 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 and blah. Well, if they tired, they ain't showing it by the vote. Because in order to show it by the vote, FNM and PLP are lose. When does that happen? It has never happened. And you all are not the new first party, the DNA and the COI are not the first third party to know. But in order to take compelling lead in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, part of the city opera, labor, let them work out. You would even consider the third force. When you look at the reality of life, get that. Hardly. But you certainly don't make the way easier simply complaining about what the media is doing to you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after the break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. Quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or .com to submit your claim on mobile weekdays 9 to 5.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand. Come take my hand. Together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. It's so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want in these final moments of the show to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The minister responsible for Foreign Affairs in the Bahamas and the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party said that they are getting ready for elections. He said a number of very important things. He says, we've done an assessment of things consistency by consistency, a realistic assessment. That's a serious business. We're trying to find out how people feel about the performance of people in those constituencies. He said, member of parliament is going to have to go through a module. Well, the last time the FNM was getting cut because it asked all the members of parliament and all the candidates to go through it. And people were saying, if you've been a former prime minister, you've been a district, you said not to go through that. According to Mr. Mitchell, everybody got to go through that, qualified. That's why he said before, he said it was, the FNM used their model. But he says they're getting ready for election. And figuring out what time it is. I can tell you one thing, better you make every effort to find out before than when you go to election. As best you can, find out what the people think. And if you want your intelligence on election day to be a little bit more informed, see how many children in them households you could talk to. Boy, turn to tell your business. You get them children outside and the people in the house, you know, they telling you, oh, don't got to worry about this. You got our support. You talking to them, the chair, and get them on candy and ask them, oh, so you all go to F&M, not us. I'm trying to tell you, you go do surveys in classrooms, in primary school, see, the high school children, they're a little more savvy. They know their mommy and daddy tell them to don't say. So they're a little more savvy. You ask them primary school children. They'll tell you. I had a sneaky suspicion that Kamala was going to have a little bit of difficulty. Sneaky suspicion. Because I asked my son, I said, my son, he's 16 years old, with his mother in the U.S., in school. I said, he didn't go in. He said, I don't know. Ah, boy. It says, Lang, I'm not a COI, but I am on the street, in the grassroots, on the ground, and in the government ministry. Talking COI, they are getting stronger, plenty of sleepers. I believe they will cause a big upset the next general election, and I am a strong effort. But my brother, I have to tell you, I heard the exact same thing the last election, on election before. Same thing. I sat on the side of a DNA person. My man, he riled me about how people are tired of the FNM and we can get a shock of our life and all that kind of stuff. We want a plane going to Florida. So I can tell you this is a true story. And I tell the man, please. It wasn't until after the election, he told me some, may have been weeks or months later, he said, boy, you told me. And I've been through that. I'm not suggesting something can't happen. I'm not suggesting that. But don't give me that as the reason you believe someone. You could be FNM all you want. That don't matter. I live on the same street you live on. I walk the same street you walk on, bro. Seriously. I know you don't think so, but and I have people in my circle who told me when I was in government, Froggy Orton Lewis, and I ride with them. You go ask them who talk about COI or DNA. I'm not saying they don't support. I was sitting with my barber. My barber said, you know, COI people been to me the other day. I tell them, man, listen to me, ain't nothing. This person is taught to everybody. Something can happen. He just the same impose them, ain't nothing happening right now. Because whatever it takes to get there hasn't happened yet. And that's the point. Now, again, can something surprisingly, shockingly happen? Of course, yeah. And it is required of Mr. Bain and his team to do their very best. Always to go out there and make their case. They are fielding candidates, that's what they ought to do. And they ought to continue to make their case, and they ought to continue to go and push for votes. And who knows? Don't think Chicago like saying it can never happen, it will not happen. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what on the ground is a possibility. And based on what I, just like you told me, but you hear it. But I'm here. That's what I'm saying. There's work to be done. A lot of work to be done. A lot of work. PMP, they got plenty of work to do too. Plenty work. The Bahamian population as a whole is not excited about the politics of the Bahamas. Not excited. But some more excited than others about some things. Some more excited than others and some things. Believe that. Right? So, who knows? I'm not calling no election for nobody. I'm not saying this one to win, that one to win, this one ain't to win, this one. I'm not saying that. A lot of work to do. And let me tell you all something about what I am not moved by. If you have a side that you want to win, then I expect you to be excited, and rally, and passing it deeply outside. Okay, and anybody who tries to down you for that, it's nonsense. You ought to be passionate about the cause you are fighting for. See? Passion matters. Listen to your commander. Now, I don't know nobody's plan yet. I know people's performances. And we'll have to see. But the plans are. Listen to them. Not just, but the plans are. You know, if you go and take a business plan to a group of investors, savvy investors, you know, they won't just listen to your plan. They will listen to your plan and then they'll ask you, who's the team you're going to use to execute this plan? Because that matters. But if you could have a wrong team for a good plan and mess the whole thing up, if you could have a bad plan for a good team and maybe they can make it work. Which one do you think? Why should I believe that this team could execute that? Don't forget now, in the Bahamas, oh, we could do up a fancy manifesto or plan now. Oh yeah, we can make it colorful. What a nice picture. Right? The words we can get right because we can get people to edit them. Yeah. Well, professional editors will read that and say, oh, no. You should rephrase it this way, so forth and so forth. So I ain't got to worry about it don't look good and it don't sound right. They don't sound right. But look good and sound right, don't make no plan executable. People execute plans. And plans have to be executable, because sometimes you can have plans that are not executable. I can build a plan right now and say, for a house, and say I can build this house in one day. One day. Depending on the nature of those plans, ain't possible. Even with the best team, not possible. So there are things to take into consideration when you are listening to those who are putting themselves forward. Government something, let me tell you something. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, meaning if you have expectations of a thing coming to be that is good for you, and it continuously is delayed or not happening, you become despondent. You begin to despair of that ever happening, and you then lose motivation. Every time we have, in quote, a failure of good governance, we are deferring hope for the population, and that is a despair, sickness of heart. Eventually, it causes people to lose confidence and trust in the institutions that serve them. And when that happens, they withdraw themselves as functional, capable and responsible civilian citizen, and they then start relying on their own entire method of trying to get by, and it creates a problem for the whole thing. That's why it's important for government to succeed. Gotta succeed at everything. They're not going to get everything done, but they need to get enough things done for people to say, it matters when you vote. It matters that things change and get better when you vote. And I think there are some big moments and things that we miss trying to do because the functional things that can matter to people remain unchanged. And it causes a heart. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. God spares life. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Y'all be good. And we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.